Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. This is going to be another double-decker episode. Frankly, there just wasn't that much big news on Thursday, so I combined it with Friday's. I also got my first shot of the vaccine today. It was super easy and fast, only took about 20 minutes start to finish, and never had to leave the car. Didn't have to bring anything, totally free. It was great execution. No symptoms at all so far, though it's usually the second shot that does it, so I'll let you know. Let's get to the news. Quick shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shay Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. You keep us all informed and engaged. If any of you out there want to join these advocates of humanity first and independent journalism, head on over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple of bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing into the future. Now on to the news. The Commerce Department disclosed that U.S. retail and food services sales rose almost 10% in March, the best monthly gain in retail sales since May of last year. This is mostly attributed to the $1,400 stimulus checks, following similar spikes from previous checks. Turns out, if you give people money who need money, they spend it and it grows the economy. What a concept. We should do this every month. Sadly, there's been another fatal shooting by police, though this time I actually have to call out Yang rather than the cops. Andrew tweeted, quote, "A child was killed in Chicago. His name was Adam Toledo. He was 13. He was unarmed. His hands were up," end quote. So while this is factually correct, it is misleading. As the video shows, which you'll find in the links, this was not really misconduct by the officer, in my opinion. Toledo had a gun, dropped it, and turned to put his arms up quickly in a motion indistinguishable from turning to fire at the officer in the moment. The officer had a split second to decide whether or not it was an attack, and he erred on the side of protecting himself, probably out of instinct. It's a tragic situation where Toledo was killed doing as he was instructed, but this is definitely a case where the officer could have made an honest mistake in assessing threat. Either Toledo or his friend had already fired the gun repeatedly and recklessly in public, which is why the police responded. Given that, the officer was justifiably on edge during the encounter. Ideally, the officer would have told him to slowly lay the gun down and then raise his hands. Ideally, Toledo would have realized that quick, ambiguous motions were a bad idea in this scenario. But thinking becomes limited in a situation like this, where a split second is the difference between life and death. It was clearly a tense situation, and neither made optimal choices, but I think the cop deserves the slack in this case. When you just recklessly fired a gun, the onus is on you to be unthreatening in your actions. It's a sad but not corrupt shooting, and it's important that we maintain legitimacy in our assessment of these things, lest we lose credibility for calling out the real injustices. The CDC has instituted a pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine following reports of blood clots in 6 women who received it. That is 6 out of close to 7 million people who have used the vaccine so far, so to call this an abundance of caution would be a massive understatement. The CDC says that they are reviewing the cases and the pause should only last for a matter of days. It's not clear to me whether they have evidence that the vaccine was responsible or if it could just be a false correlation of the sort that has driven the anti-vax movement. Yang received an endorsement from the John F. Kennedy Democratic Club. Also, not a huge deal, but the order in which the mayoral candidates will be listed on the ballots has been released, and symbolically, it seems, Yang is at the bottom of the list. Typical, am I right? It's not alphabetical, it's supposedly random. Ordering of the candidates on ballots definitely has an effect on voting, particularly on low-information voters, which is most voters, and particularly in a ranked choice race. However, last place isn't actually the worst place to be. At the top is best, of course, but last is kind of second best, according to the data. Makes sense, we tend to look at the start and the finish of things and give less attention to the middle, just in general. The other good news is none of the big contenders are at the very top. The first candidate with a serious showing in the polls is Stringer at number 3. Shout out to Patrick Gedge, who advised Yang to advertise with a slogan like "Save the Best for Last" to prime voters to look for him at the bottom. Sounds like a good idea to me. If you want to see the Ask Me Anything session with Andrew and Evelyn, the link to that is in the podcast description. Finally, Eric Smith, a three-time North Carolina state senator now running for U.S. Senate, has just announced the addition of UBI to her policy platform. She released a rather lengthy statement on it, making good arguments for why it's needed and desirable, including citing MLK's support for it. Not a lot of detail on a specific plan that she endorses, other than to say she believes it should be on top of existing welfare and at least $1,000 a month. But that's fine for now. Supporting the concept is what matters at this stage, and she's doing that, so give her a look and consider supporting. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Bookmark and share the retail sales. Check out Erica Smith. Flood Congress with calls, tweets, faxes, and letters using the Resist Bot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, or United Way. And don't forget to Yang Daily.